Our Bible is to Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34. We're going to read the first 8 verses. Isaiah 34. Verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is in therein the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Jehovah is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon all the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of Jehovah is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For Jehovah hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. We'll stop right here. One of the things that I realize is that us as human beings, we don't listen. One of the problems with mankind is we don't listen to God's Word, the Bible. We will listen to everything else. But when it comes on to God's Word, the Bible, we want nothing to do with it. But we know that God is the one who has to give us ears to hear the Word of God. Here in verse 1 of Isaiah 34, here God is speaking to the whole world because the Bible is for all mankind. No matter where you were born or where you're from, the Bible is for the whole human race. And here in verse 1 of Isaiah 34, God says, come near. Come near. It's a command of God for us to come near to Him, to the Word of God. Ye nations, all the nations of the world, God is speaking, to hear and hearken. Listen to what God has to say, because the Bible is the Word of God. Many people has their opinions of who wrote the Bible. I was speaking to one person one day. They say, oh, men wrote the Bible. And then this other person said, well, parts of the Bible were written by man. I asked the person, what part? What book? They couldn't answer. The entire Bible is the Word of God. And we ought to be listening to it. And listen very intently, because God is speaking to each and every one of us. And He means absolutely what He says. What God says, He will bring it to pass. It doesn't make a difference what you think, you or I think. The Bible is true. You see, and God even tells us in Proverbs 3, He says, we not ought to lean on our own understanding and our own wisdom. What you think doesn't mean anything. What God says is absolute truth. He will bring it to pass. And as you know, we're at the very end. We only have a few more months left. You know, what, 10 months and a few days to go? And here God, in His mercy, He has warned us what He's about to do. How many people is listening to what He has to say? Mankind is going about his own business. He's busy planning his wedding. He's busy about his job, his retirement, busy going to school and all these things. Just like in the days of Noah, God tells us, what were they doing? They heard the warning from God. They heard that the flood was coming. Did they bother to really listen to what Noah was saying? No. God tells us in the Bible they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage right up until that very day of the flood. They didn't listen to what He has to say. God, through Noah, was telling the human world of that day what He was about to do. Destroy the earth. And mankind was going right along with his life, his business as usual. And the flood came. And they were all destroyed. They perished in the flood. And so we are in our day. God in His mercy is warning the world, listen, hear what He has to say. And there are those who care less. It goes through one ear and out the next. And it's been my experience where I try to talk to people about this May 21st, 2011. And you know they're not listening to you. It could be children, it could be anyone. And you know they're not listening. They hear you with their physical ear, and that's as far as it goes. They are not taking seriously the Bible. They're not listening because they think that they have more important things to do in their life. They have their own problems. But if you are not a child of God, you have a bigger problem. You're on your way to the day of judgment to be destroyed forevermore. And what could be bigger than that? You're about to be destroyed. Don't you care? And there are those who don't. They're just mosey on. But in that day of judgment, it's going to be terrible. If you turn over to Genesis 19, another familiar passage that we're very familiar with. If you are a true believer and you hear this information about the day of judgment, you checked it out. This is what the Bible is teaching. You see it to be true. One of the first things that a true believer will do, he will go to his family, his immediate family, isn't it? You're going to tell your husband, your wife, your children about this information in the Bible. And God gave us his example in Genesis 19 about Lot. What did he do when he heard this information that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed? What did he do? His immediate family, he warned. Did they listen to him? Oh, they heard what he said. But they really didn't hear it. They continue on in their life with their business. In Genesis 19, verse 17, where they mocked, they laughed at him. Oh, 14, excuse me. Genesis 19, verse 14. Here were their response. It says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law." You see, his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. You see, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for Jehovah will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You see what they did? They laughed at him. And I'm pretty sure that many of us, as we hear this this information with people, the mockers are lined up. The scoffers are lined up. And they have all their opinions. They're not listening to the Bible. You see, they're not listening. Just their reaction to this information is just like Lot's wife, Lot's sons-in-law. Is this your response when you hear it? Many people are like this. They hear it, and it has not affected them in any way. They're just continuing on as business as usual, you know. And you tell them repeatedly, and you just bounce off their forehead and come right back at you. In other words, they don't care. They don't care. They laugh at you. You're teased. You're called names, and you name it. But this, you know, this is the reaction of man to the gospel. He doesn't believe it. And we're coming with an information of May 21st, 2011, judgment day begins. Wow. You know, we don't want to hear that. You tell me the good things in the Bible. You tell me that God loves everybody and all these things. That's what man wants to hear. But you're talking about the end, judgment day? Wow, that's some serious information. But this is what the Bible is saying. This will happen. Whether we want to hear it or not, or whether we care about it or not, that day is fast approaching. Every day that goes by, every week, every month. You know, we just started the year 6 months ago. And now we're 6 months into the year already. Where did time go? So time is quickly moving along. You know, we don't have the luxury of time. Well, we never had the luxury of time, because God can take any one of us out in death at any given moment. But we're living in a day which we're looking right at the end, of Judgment Day. You know, this is a reality. This is a reality. This is going to happen. So don't stop our ears and continue on as if we have never heard it, because it will not go well with the wicked in the day of judgment. It will not go well with the wicked in the day of judgment. oh, it will go well for those who love the Lord, because this is the day they've been waiting for thousands of years. The Bible has been speaking about this one day, judgment day. And the true believers are looking forward to this day with great excitement. Although, yes, in this time, which you know that their men is going to be destroyed, we don't look at that we look at that with sadness, great sadness. But on the other hand, the true believers are looking forward for that day of judgment. But what I want to look at is the wicked in the day of judgment. The wicked in the day of judgment. If you look at, go over to Psalm 17. God has given us these its and bits and pieces of information in the Bible about the wicked. It will not go well for them in the day of judgment. It will not. It's going to be the most horrible day of their life. It's going to be the most horrible day. You know, many people today are hoping that this information in the Bible is completely incorrect. Oh, I see you on May 22nd. And they just they're having a field day, so to speak, about this information in the Bible. How can you know the day of judgment day? Even the angels don't know it, or the Son of God. And you try to tell them, no, it's not what you think that verse means. You know, this is what it means, and they don't want to hear it. You know, they take comfort in the fact that no one knows the day or the hour. They comfort themselves with that. And you try to tell them, no, this is what this verse means. You know, it doesn't mean what you think it is. And they don't want to hear it. They ignorantly goes on their own way. But here in Psalm 17, we're going to read from verse 9 to 15. Here God says, Psalm 17, verses 9 to 15. He says, "For from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fact. With their mouth they have speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that greedily for its prey, and as were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Jehovah, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Jehovah, from men of the world which have their portion in this life." The wicked of the world, their portion is in this life. In other parts of the Bible, God tells us they mind earthly things. That's why they don't want this world to end. Their God is their belly. He goes on and says, "Whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." You see, unsaved man, this he find his joy in this life. His dreams, his aspirations, his life and all these things, his beautiful home, his good job making a whole bunch of money, and he doesn't want to see this world end. But you have to fast forward the clock and look in the day of judgment. What good is his things that he has amassed in this life in the day of judgment? It means absolutely nothing. He's going to be destroyed. You see, it will not go well with the unsaved man in the day of judgment. A horrible thing is going to happen to him there. He's going to be destroyed forever. Forever and ever. He will never be remembered. God is going to wipe him out. You see, his inheritance, his portion is in this life. That's all he's going to get. And he clings to it. Although he knows, and everyone knows, every human being knows, this world is going to end. And when you see some catastrophe happen in this world, unsaved man, he's beside himself. He's beside himself because he sees this world, you know, is not as stable as he thinks. And he's beside himself. He's concerned about global warming. He's worried about all sorts of things for this life because he's trying desperately to hold on to it. Because this is going to be his portion. This is his lot in this life. You see, and that's all he is going to get. this life. If you look at Philippians, over to Philippians again, another familiar passage. I believe God is speaking to those who are in the church and those who are out the church. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, here God, through the Apostle Paul, is teaching us. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." Paul here has been a picture of Christ himself. "And mark them which walk so as ye have of us for an example. For many walk," they're those who are living out their life, "many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And to be an enemy of the cross, you're not saved. During the church age, you know, there were gospels out there that saying a prosperity gospel. You know, the pastors proclaim that. They're telling you that their God is their belly. As long as they have this and so-called God gave them this, then the God they worship. And he goes on, he says, God's going to tell us what's going to happen to them. "Whose end is destruction." The end of the unsaved, the end of the wicked, is destruction. "Whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Who mind earthly things. You see, they're those who love the things that this world produces. They love it and they don't want to face the fact that it's coming to an end. Because their life is here. The true believers know their life is not in this world. Because our eyes is focused on spiritual things where God is seated in heaven. We mind spiritual things. You see, we shouldn't be caught up with this world as the way the unsaved does. Shouldn't be. Our conversation is in heaven. You know, our inheritance, our portion really is God himself. We're going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and the new earth. When God comes to destroy this earth, which is a few months away. Let's go on to another. Let's go back over to Psalms. Psalms 11, verses 5 and 7. Psalm 11, verses 5 through 7. We read, "Jehovah trieth the righteous, but the wicked," and the wicked are all the unsaved, "but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked," you know, upon the wicked, May 21st, 2011. "Upon the wicked," on that 5-month period, God is going to punish the wicked. "Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest." Oh, that it will not go well for the wicked in the day of judgment. God calls it here a horrible tempest. "This shall be the portion of their cup." That is what God is going to give to the wicked in the day of judgment. Although it seems like all is going well for them right now, they're enjoying life and the stadiums were filled and mankind is going about his business and all these things. This is their lot. That God, Jehovah God, will give to them in the day of judgment. And God says in verse 7, "For the righteous, Jehovah loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." And the upright are those who God has given righteousness. Because as we know that of ourselves, we have no righteousness of ourselves. God is the one who has imputed to us the righteousness of Christ. But this is the lot of the wicked. A horrible tempest. God is going to be fire and brimstone, all these things. During that 5-month period of God's judgment, man, the wicked of the world who are left behind here on that day, they're going to have to face Almighty God. They're going to be punished for their sins, for their iniquity. And there is no escaping that. Yeah, you can't escape it by becoming saved. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ as our refuge. You read through Psalms, you see, God tells us that He's our refuge. He's our hiding place. A refuge from what? A hiding place from what? He has to be from something. It's from the wrath of God. He's our safety. He's our safety of escaping this horrible tempest that God is going to be pouring out upon the wicked in the day of judgment. It's going to be be absolute terror for them in that day. Now you see mankind, he's laughing at the gospel. He mocks it. He don't want to talk about it. And he have all his excuses. All of it is excuses. Excuse after excuse after excuse. But in that day of judgment, when he sees and realizes what is about to happen to him, then he'll begin to know that Jehovah, he is God, that the Bible was right all along, and he was wrong. How merciful it is that God tells us not to trust our own thinking. Well, I believe this, and I don't think this, and I don't do that. It doesn't mean a thing. It's the Bible you trust. What says the Bible? You see, God gives us the, as Chris was saying, in the multitude of counsels is their wisdom. It's in the Bible we go to find truth. And not of our own mind or in the libraries or what Dr. So-and-so says and all these things. No, you will never find truth there. It is in God's Word, the Bible. And that's where we have to go to find truth. If you look too at Job. Job chapter 20, verses 21 to 29. Job chapter 20. We're going to start reading in verse 21. Here God says, let's pick up the context. There shall none of his meat be left, therefore shall no man look for his goods. In the fullness of his sufficiency he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him, and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. He shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. It is drawn and cometh out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. It's going to go ill with the wicked in the day of judgment. For those who are left behind, they're going to be consumed by God. And it goes on, verse 27, the heaven shall reveal his iniquity. The earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. All what he had is gone in the day of judgment. And verse 29, this is the portion of the wicked man from God and the heritage appointed to him by God. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do, give to the wicked in the day of judgment. All he has, whatever he owns, is gone. It's no good. All of his hopes and his dreams are gone. Remember, God is going to interrupt the life of mankind. He's going to interrupt, you know, to make a difference come May 21st, what you're doing, or what you didn't accomplish, or your problems, or whatever it is. Well, you have a bigger problem if you're not saved. You have to face God in that day of judgment. And that day is quickly approaching. And, you know, time is running out. So if you know you're not a child of God, you hear it over and over and over again, be like the Ninevites. God is merciful. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. He's still saving a great multitude of people, no matter how many sins you've committed. The grace of God is sufficient. God can forgive. So we have no excuse. You hear the warning of the day of judgment which is coming and how it's going to go ill with the wicked in the day of judgment. Are we supposed to sit there and have a no care attitude? God is an infinite being. He knows all things, and he's the one you think you're wiser than. Isn't that foolish that we think that we're smarter than God? He tells us today this information from the Bible, what he's about to do. Think of it. He could have designed the gospel 1,000 different ways, and he could have just come upon us, boom, and wipe us out. He could do it. God is God. But he doesn't. He always warned. He always warned the world what he's about to do. He did it in Noah's day. For 120 years, he warned the people. You see, the grace of God and his mercy. He warned Nineveh, and you see how he was merciful to them. He always warned, the grace of God, the grace of God. But the day comes when that door of mercy and grace is closed. He will, you know, the God's salvation, his grace, is not an open-ended thing. Oh, when I feel like it. If it's up to me, none of us would cry out to God for mercy. You see, it's not an open-ended thing. The day comes when God's mercy is no longer going to be available. Remember that verse in Isaiah 55, God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." While he may be found. Telling us that the day comes when he will no longer be found. You see, the door to the ark didn't stay open while it was raining, did it? No, the Bible clearly tells us that God himself shut the door. No one else was getting in. None. His mercy that day was done with the people of that day. Now the door of God's mercy is flung wide open. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." God is near to us. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and then rent righteous men his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." For what? He is merciful. God is gracious. You see. And here, look at Job 24. Job 24, verse 18. Job 24, verse 18. God tells us here, he says, "He is swift as the waters, their portion," speaking about the unsaved, "their portion is cursed in the earth." The unsaved, their portion, their heritage, is cursed in the earth. Because God is going to destroy them. Their portion, which is their heritage, their lot in this life, is cursed in the earth. "He beholdeth not the way of the vineyards." Their portion in this life is cursed. You know, God is going to destroy them. You know, it's not going to go well with them in the day of God's anger. Terrible. Terrible thing is going to happen to them. When mankind, May 21st, 2011, the unsaved realizes, oh, the Bible was true. It was true. "Lord, Lord." Remember Matthew 7? "Lord, Lord, Master, Master, hadn't I done this?" And all this thing, God is going to say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The day of mercy has come and gone, come May 21st. No more, when the true believers are caught up to be with Christ in that day, all the unsaved will be left behind, and there will be no more grace. Oh, people still have the Bible. They'll still have it, but the door is closed. No one else can get in. They're all left behind here to face the wrath of an almighty God. And you know, we ought to take it seriously. This is not a joke. The Bible is deadly serious. I know that there are many who laugh at it and have their own opinions of the Bible, but you know, it's not going to change the fact that that day of judgment has been appointed by God from all the councils of eternity, and we can't change it. We can't hope it away. We can't wish it's not going to happen. Judgment day is going to happen. Now, don't stick our head in the sand like, you know, you never hear anything. We all here heard it. Over and over and over again. Remember the verse God tells us, if you hear his voice, the Bible, harden not your heart. Don't turn away from it. You know, mankind is going to mock and laugh at you all they want, but, you know, we should feel sorry for them. Because we know what is coming upon them. You know, the wicked in the day of judgment, it will not go well with them. Oh, he laughs now and have his so-called fun. But that day is coming then when they're going to have to face God and how terrible it will be. In Matthew 24, let's turn over to Matthew 24, verse 51. Matthew 24, verse 51. Here he tells us. Let's back up a little bit to verse 48 to pick up the context. "But and if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the unsaved in the day of judgment. They're not looking for the return. They're not looking in the Bible. They're not listening. They're not listening to the warning of God that judgment day is almost here. And this is going to be their portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I hear many people mock judgment day. They don't realize what they're doing. It's going to be a horrible time, those 5 months, 5 month period. Remember in Deuteronomy 28, you know, often wonder, those last few verses, it literal. It says, wish to God it was morning, evening come. You wish to God it was evening of the suffering of the unsaved during that time. God now is beginning to pour out his wrath upon those who are left behind. It doesn't make a difference who you are or your status in this life. God is not a respecter of persons. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It has nothing to do with your education level or whether you live in the street or in a mansion. It doesn't mean that. God is not a respecter. He's not impressed by that. You see, God is impressed by a broken and a contrite heart. You see, let's look at another passage. Look at Zephaniah. Book of Zephaniah. You have Habakkuk, and then after Habakkuk is Zephaniah in the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to read on through a little bit to chapter 2. Verse 13 of Zephaniah chapter 1. Here we read. Therefore, we're going to break right into the middle of the chapter. Therefore, their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink of the vine thereof. In verse 14, the great day of Jehovah is near. And oh, how near it is in our day. It's near. And hasteneth greatly, even the voice of the day of Jehovah. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. He's crying. Why is man, unsaved man, crying in that day of judgment? He's weeping. And he's weeping there. It's too late for salvation. You know, he's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He realizes that he's been living his life in this life without Christ. You know, maybe he has heard the gospel all his life. You know, he's heard it. Many homes in the United States have a Bible. They never bothered. Homes that have godly parents who love the Lord, they're teaching their children the Word of God. They're not listening. And there they are standing in the day of judgment, weeping. Weeping because they have to face the wrath of God. In verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men. Who's the I? The I there is God himself. God is doing it, you see. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Jehovah, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. If you look at the word dung in the Bible, it's like, you know, the day of judgment, all the dead of the world, no one will bury them. Their bodies are going to be cast out like dung upon the earth. You know, they're under the judgment of God. And it says, verse 18, there neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Jehovah's wrath. You know, mankind trusts in his riches, his wealth, his money. And in that day of judgment, it's useless. You can't deliver them from the wrath of God. You can't buy your way into heaven. It's useless, you see. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. In chapter 2, verse 1, gather yourself together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree come forth. It's like God is telling us, before the decree, judgment day begins, you know, we ought to be crying out to God for mercy. Oh Lord, could it be that you might save me? You know, you see the song says, nothing in my hands I bring. We simply plead to God like the Ninevites. And it may be he might save me. I don't know whether he will save me or not. It says, before the decree you bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff. And here, see how he's repeating before several times? Before the fierce anger of Jehovah come upon you. Come upon you, you see. You got to be crying out to God for mercy. Come upon you before the day of Jehovah's anger come upon you. You see how he repeats it twice? He's emphasizing it. Seek him before Jehovah comes, because the possibility of salvation still exists. It just might be that he might save me, you see. And it says, seek ye Jehovah, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be he shall be hid in the day of Jehovah's anger. Hid from what? We need to be hid from the anger of God. If you're saved, you're hidden in Christ. We are passed from death to life, the Bible says. All this language he uses in the Bible, we need to be hid from the day of judgment. Now, we only could be hid from the day of judgment when God has saved us. Before the anger of the Lord comes, before he does these things, because in the day when the Lord returns, the day of salvation is over with. No one else is getting into the kingdom of heaven. You can weep. You can cry. And oh, there's going to be a lot of weeping in that day. And all sorts of things be going on. And God will not hear you. Remember, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He's near to us. He's still saving sinners. We have the word of God in front of us. We're not at the day of judgment as yet. It's coming. Your days are passing very quickly. Before you know it, we'll be in December. We'll be there. And we should be beseeching him every day, night and day, crying out to him. Because we know that, oh Lord, I know that you are merciful. You know, because a day of salvation is coming to a close very, very quickly. Time is of the essence. Time is getting shorter and shorter. Every 24 hours go by. You know, you can't reach back into yesterday and start to live it over again. That time is gone. It's gone. And every day, and we're at the end of June. We meet back here in another month. See, so time is going by very quickly, very, very quickly. But we also know that in the day of judgment, which is fast approaching, it will go ill for the wicked. It will go ill, but for those who are saved. That for those who are saved, that's the day we've been waiting for all through the creation of this world. The Bible has been talking about this day of judgment. God sets up types and pictures, and the flood of Noah's day was a picture of the end of the world and all these things. You know, God, you know, it was Jericho, you know, and all these things. God is setting up types of it. And here we are now at that day for those who are truly saved. And they've been looking for this day in the Bible. And here we are, we're going to be there. And the true believers, with great anticipation that day comes, immediately they're caught up to be with Christ. And there we will be forever. Let's look at another verse. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. No, 2 Thessalonians. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians, I believe. See, we've been waiting for our completion of our salvation. True believers, as you know, in our spirit, where we've experienced salvation, it's saved. But our bodies are not. Our bodies are not saved as yet. So we're waiting for that day. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 7.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Here we read, You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and those are the wicked. They know not God. You know, God will take vengeance upon them, know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wicked, they're going to be destroyed in that day. Who shall be punished? Still speaking about the wicked. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? This is the Lord Jesus, which is God Himself. He's going to do this. You see, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints. The saints are all His people. God's elect. God is going to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Oh, that's the day that we'll be looking for, the true believers. They're going to love that day. Finally, they're going to be with God forever and ever and ever. Forevermore, they'll be with Him, you see. But the unsaved, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. October 21st, God is going to destroy them. They're going to be totally be destroyed after, but during that 5-month period, I believe that by the time they get to October 21st, 2011, everybody in this world will be dead. You know that earthquake got Revelation 16 talk about? So mighty, so great an earthquake that man has ever seen. God's going to use that earthquake to open the graves of all the dead. You know, we see earthquakes today and we just recoil at it, you know. And that earthquakes that we have in our day is nothing compared to the one that will occur on May 21st, 2011. God speaks about an earthquake, so mighty and so great an earthquake. Let me read it. Is it Revelation 16? It speaks about that earthquake in Revelation 16, I believe. Let's start at verse 17. Revelation 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunderers and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty and so great an earthquake. That's a horrible thing. You know, our minds can't understand this. You know, shake God, we don't know. We can't understand it, but here he's speaking about it. But for those who are saved, that day is a great day. That we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's God going to speak about His people. Verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is Christ, you know, which is God, because God is our exceeding great reward. You know, He's our inheritance. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love His appearing. Who are the ones who's going to love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? The true believers. They are going to love the appearing of Christ. The unsaved know it's the most horrible thing day for them. But for the true believers, it's going to be a day that they've been waiting for. It's a totally different. The response of the saved people and the wicked of the world. Because they see this earth that they love so much is gone. Before them, it's useless. You know, God now is going to begin to destroy the world. Let's go on to look at Psalm 33. Verse 11. Uh, Start reading at verse Psalm 33. Start reading at verse 11. The counsel of Jehovah standeth forever. It's the word of God. It stands forever. You see, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation. What nation is that? Is the true believers. Not any political nation. It's the nation of true believers. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, and the people whom he has chosen for his inheritance. They're blessed of God. He's chosen them from the foundation of the world, and it's just, he has chosen for his inheritance. God's elect. He chose them to be his inheritance from the foundation of the world. You see, look at another verse. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 8 to 13. Psalm 37 says, verse 8. Psalm 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. We shouldn't desire revenge on anyone. No matter what somebody has done to us, we shouldn't seek revenge. God, vengeance belongs to God. For evildoers shall be cut off, the unsaved. But those that wait upon Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. See, the true believers, they're going to be the inheritors of the earth, because God is their portion. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, though they diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, his people, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, in a new heaven and a new earth. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. It's the wicked. See the difference between those who are looking for the day of judgment and those who are not, and the difference between the righteous and the wicked. We will go ill with them in the day of judgment, and it's not going to be pretty for them. Look at the same chapter, verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Jehovah upholdeth the righteous. And read on through verse 20, verse 18. Jehovah knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The inheritance of God's people is forever. They're going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and the new earth forevermore. Let's look at verse 20 of the same chapter. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. See, the righteous and the wicked in the day of judgment, they will consume away. They will cease to exist on October 21st. And go down to, I believe, in the same chapter to verse 27. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil. Sin. You know, this may be that God might save. That might save. Let's go over to Matthew 25. I'm almost done. Matthew 25, verse 32 to 34. Matthew 25. Verse 32. Here God is giving us, remember, all this is a parable, you know, parabolic language. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You know, in May 21st, it's going to be a separation. The true believers are going to be caught up to be with Christ, and the unbelievers will be left behind. Let me read on a little further, up to verse 34, verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, which is a figure of the true believers, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom has been prepared by God for all those who have had their sins paid for. And I tell you, it's blessing after blessing after blessing for his people. Let's look at one last verse in over to Revelation 21. And this, you know, it's still fitting to end this on this chapter, Revelation 21. See the true believers. You see the contrast between the two, the wicked and the righteous. It's going ill for the wicked in the day of judgment, but for the righteous, that's what we've been waiting for. In Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This world is gone, no longer to be remembered. It will be forgotten. And verse 5 says, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And God has said something in the Bible. His words are true because he is true and he is the faithful one. He will do what he says. You see. And verse 6, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. The true believers will inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And that is forevermore. You see, the wicked is going to go ill for them in the day of judgment. There is no, you know, the only way we could escape that is when God has truly saved us. And here, May 21st, 2011 comes, the true believers are gone, and the unsaved have to face the God who they have been denying that doesn't exist. They laugh at the Bible, they poke fun at you as you hand out tracts, and you hand out tracts, you see the responses. They write about you in the paper and call you names, and you name it. But in the day of judgment, the unsaved of the world will know that Jehovah, He is God. Okay, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. We thank you, Lord, for the warning that thou hast given to us in thy word. And that's by thy grace and mercy you have done so.